There's a saying that whoever knows how to reflect will know to give thanks. If you can be reflective, you'll be thankful. The fact that we're alive today. You know, when my brother was asking, does anyone have testimonies? And he said, five women. And then he said, a man. I was like, God bless that man. That one man is, you know, one man is enough to, you know, to represent. But I'm sure each and every one of us, if we just reflect, there'll be a reason to give thanks. You think you don't have it? There's some people that are worse off. The fact that you're even able to breathe, there'll be those who slept and did not wake up today. But that's not been your portion. So you have every reason to give thanks to God. Praise the Lord. Very quickly, I'm just going to continue where we left off last week. We were talking about excellence in faith. We've been looking at excellence. And as a church, we believe that we've been called to be a people of excellence and to build a people of excellence. One of the things we said last week, we said that faith that is associated with excellence is exceeding faith. So when you think about faith, it's not just, you know, when we talk about excellence, exceeding faith is what is associated with excellence. Another point we made last week was that your measure of faith is not so much the amount of faith that you have, but the amount of faith that you exercise. So your faith is not so much about the faith you have, but the faith you're able to exercise. How are you exercising your faith? And even in this past week, have you been exercising your faith? So when we talk about the measure of faith you've got, it's not so much the faith you have, but the faith that you're exercising. Praise the Lord. I think there's a reason why God has been speaking to us about faith in the last couple of weeks. A couple of Fridays ago, the sister that shared, she was talking about challenges that could affect our faith. And she mentioned three things that could, you know, cause us to doubt or to have our faith challenged. And the three things essentially deal with a questioning attitude. So she said that our faith are often challenged when we question God's wisdom. In questioning God's wisdom, do we trust that His way will get us to the destination we need to get to? Our faith will be challenged when we question God's goodness. And in that regard, it's questioning our belief that His plan is the best for us. Do we really trust God that His plan is the best for us? The psalmist said, I'll lift up my eyes to those from where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. There's an assurance there. Our faith will be challenged when we question His power, His ability to see us through. Do we trust Him to see us through whatever situation we find ourselves? Questioning God's goodness, questioning God's wisdom, questioning His power. Our belief that His plan is best for us. Our trust that His way will get us to our destination. And the destination we're talking about is the God-given destination where He wants you to get to. It says His thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, to grant you an expected end. So He has a plan for you. Are you trusting Him to get you to where He plans for you? Do you question His power? Do you question His ability to see you through? The Bible says that He that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So what He has started, trust Him that He's able to see you through to the end. Please pardon me. I try not to sing after the choir I've sung so that, you know, you don't start comparing our voices. But you know, there's a song I love so much. It says that I just can't give up now. You know, I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road will be easy, but I don't believe He's brought me this far to leave me. And that song actually ministered to me many years ago when I was in a dire place. I just thought, you know, what next? Where am I heading to? But that is the reality. God has not brought you this far to leave you. He's not brought you this far to abandon you. His thoughts, they're thoughts of good, for a future, for a hope, for an expected end. His destination concerning you is clear. He's taking you to that destination. Just keep trusting Him that He'll get you there, however rough the way might be. Praise the Lord. And I ask myself this question, is faith then the absence of doubt? Is faith the absence of doubt? So when we say we have faith, does that mean doubt cannot creep in? Or if we doubt, does that then mean that we're faithless? The only answer I could give to this is that, and this is what I believe that faith is not the absence of doubt, but that we should exercise our faith in spite of our doubts. So doubts can creep in, but you have to exercise your faith in spite of those concerns. Praise the Lord. You know, in Mark 9, 23 and 24, there was a man that came to meet Jesus that, you know, his son was possessed by some spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit, and he wanted the disciples to cast that spirit out. And it was like they couldn't. The man, and Jesus told him, he said that, you know, if you believe, all things are possible. What did that man respond? He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know how it's going to happen. It might not happen, but I believe you're able to do it. Praise the Lord. So, it's not so much that there could be doubts. There could be doubts. But in spite of those doubts, do you believe? Do you believe that the Lord is able to? And that is what faith is all about. That is excellence in faith. Amen. I don't want to steal the children's thunder. This month, this week, they're having their weekend, they're looking at exploits. Praise God. Exploits, right? You know, those who know their God will be strong. They will do exploits. One, it takes faith to do exploits. If you don't have faith, you can't do exploits. They're going to be talking about some heroes of faith. We look at people in the scriptures and people even that we know, people that have accomplished great things. You'll see that faith underscores what they've accomplished. It takes faith to do exploits. Remember that we said that faith that is action is faith that grows. So if you're not putting your faith into works, if you're not working with it, your faith will not grow. Your faith needs to be action for it to grow. And the more you exercise your faith, the more exploits you do. I can believe, you know, I can believe from now till kingdom come. I can believe to heavens. If I'm not exercising my faith, how would you know what my God is able to do? Elijah said, you know what? let's give an offering to our gods. You give an offering to your gods. I'll give to my God. And we'll see the God that answers by fire will truly be God. He put his faith into action. And we talk about Elijah, a man of like passion, a man of tremendous faith. The more you exercise your faith, the more exploits you will do. Now, what are we saying? We're saying that faith can come in measures. But that measure of faith is the faith that you exercise. And we say that there were two people in the scriptures that Jesus Christ himself testified about that they had tremendous faith. Do you remember the two people? The first person, the centurion. Praise the Lord. A Roman soldier, not even a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. So in this context, we'll say, okay, he wasn't a Christian. But Jesus Christ said that he had tremendous faith. I think for one of time, since it's Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to have time to thank God. The passage is Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. You can read it at your time. But there's something about that man. So that implicit in his faith was his belief in Jesus Christ's ability to command and have things come to pass. What did he say to Jesus? He was like, I'm a man under authority, and I also have people under me. If you speak the word, all you need to do is speak the word, and I know it will be accomplished. He recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. And that was what Jesus commended. He recognized the fact that if Jesus just speaks the word, he doesn't have to do anything. Just speak the word, it will happen. Praise God. Jesus Christ said that all authority in heaven and earth have been given to him. Matthew 28:18. Even before he said this, this was a man that recognized or the authority in Jesus Christ. And because of that recognition, Jesus said, you know what? Don't worry. Just go. Your servant has been healed. When you acknowledge the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ, you will exercise exploit-achieving faith. Acknowledging the authority and lordship of Jesus. And truly, that psalmist in Psalm 121, that's what he was saying. Where's my help going to come from? I know it's going to come from you. You've made all things. You don't sleep, you don't slumber. You not let the sun smite me by day. The moon will not smite me by night. It's all about you. You have the authority to make it happen. Remember, we said that our faith can be challenged when we doubt God's power. The centurion had faith. He recognized the lordship, the authority Jesus Christ had, and he made a way for him. Amen. I'm going to digress slightly. You know the story about Peter walking on water? You know, when we talk about that story, we always talk about the fact that Peter doubted and his faith wavered. And because his faith wavered, he began to sink. But you know that when they went, I mean, it's the story is in Matthew chapter 14 from verses 22 to 31. Before Peter got out of the boat, actually, there's a very good book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Step Out of the Boat, something like that, by John Ortberg. It's a nice book. I recommend it. It's worth reading. It challenges your faith. And it's not just, you know, believing and just sitting down. It's believing and, you know, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat if you want to walk on the water. Don't just stay there and, you know, Lord, you will do it, you will do it, you will do it. Action your faith. But you know the storm was raging before Peter stepped out of the boat. So it wasn't a case of, you know, everything was nice and good. Peter saw Jesus, he stepped out. The Bible says the waters were battering the boat. Think verse 24. It says, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So it wasn't a nice and calm situation. It was a turbulent time. Peter recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. That was how he could step out of the boat. Please, brothers and sisters, how many of us now would have stepped out in a raging storm? He stepped out. Even if he only walked for a few seconds, he stepped out, he exercised faith, walked on water, man, not God. Yes, we know that he looked around, saw the raging wind and everything, and was like, oh God, help me. But he walked on water. Yes, Jesus Christ said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He said that to him. But his little faith made him walk, even for a few seconds. We're talking about exceeding faith. Remember last week, we were reading that Jesus said, even if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you know, you tell mountains to move and it will be moved. So a mustard seed faith can cause mountains to move. Jesus said Peter had very little faith. Very little faith. That very little faith that caused doubt made Peter walk on water. Imagine if you've got great faith. Imagine if you've got exceeding faith and you're exercising your faith. Imagine how much exploits you can do. Little faith walked on water, even though you doubted. But it did something. What are we doing? What are you doing with the faith you've got? Praise the Lord. The second person that Jesus commended about having exceeding faith, the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman, as they call it. If you look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Now again, this is another person that was not a Jew. What did she want? Her child was sick. She wanted healing for her child, and she went to meet Jesus. There are two points I note here, and it's worth us taking note. Firstly, for the woman, her faith made her persistent. Because it got to a point, even the disciples were like, you know what? This woman is just following us. Tell her to go away. So I can imagine how she kept, you know, Jesus, you can do it. Help me. Help my child. Help my child. She was persistent. She kept at it. And she got her just reward. But the second thing, so that she trusted that Jesus was able to change the natural order of things. He was able to change the natural order of things in order for the supernatural to happen. What do I mean by that? What was the natural order of things? Jesus Christ said that the children's bread is not meant for dogs. A lot of us would have taken offense. So you're calling me a dog. In fact, just take your healing and go, you know, to blazes with your healing. Some of us will say that. But this woman, he said, you know, the children's bread is not meant for dogs. Simple. Thank God for godly wisdom. The woman said, even dogs will eat the crumbs that fall off the table. So there's benefit, even though the order is it's meant for a certain people. Yet, those that are not meant to have it can still benefit from it. And you can make that happen. So you can change the natural order of things for me so that the supernatural can happen for me, so that the healing I'm looking for can come. I'll end on this note. It's a testimony I've shared with so many people. When I came to the UK, I was very concerned. I was very concerned because I thought to myself, what will the future hold? I was doing well, I had a good job. And that's when that song actually ministered to me, that I can't give up now. And I was like, where's the next pound going to come from? I went from a position of not knowing what was in my account to counting every penny I spent because I didn't know where the next one would come from. But as I was coming, my manager said something to me then. He said, you know what? Even if there's no post, if you come back, post can always be created. After I finished my PhD, the first job I got, there was an advert for just one post. I went for the job. I did not get it. The recruiter called me, the dean. She said, we enjoyed your presentation. We enjoyed your interview. We don't have the money for another post. I'm going to go and look for money for another post. If I'm able to get it, will you come?
You mean that I'm looking for a job?
Thank God it was. We were speaking over the phone. Now I was jumping up and down, and I'm thinking, she's asking me, will I come? The job was not there. God created a new post for me. That is the God we serve. He's able to change the natural order of things so that the supernatural can happen for me, for you. Are you exercising your faith? Shall we pray?